This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the 2v2 podcast. Danny, Dave,
and Steve.
Awesome.
Yeah, no disasters since the last natural disaster of whenever I had the bum leg and bumped into everything and knocked it all over. The bum knee. Whenever you have a bum knee, you gotta destroy everything and something like that, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That center mic right there that Adam was using the last time that we recorded was picking up a lot of that fan. I don't know why that fan is making such a noise this time. I've never noticed it be that loud before, but it's...
I wasn't noticing it until you brought it up. Now that's all I'm thinking
about. I know, right? I guess the bearing's going out in it or something like that, but it's June. It's been stupid hot. It's been stupid humid is what the problem is, man. Yeah, if you need to move some of that stuff out of the way, dude, knock yourself out. I've just got crap sitting all over the place. Yeah, so that's still the figure that I picked up last time that we torqued about.
Obsessive compulsive person,
you know,
would look in this room and go nuts.
Oh God, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, there's not a good enough organization here.
It is somewhat organized.
No, it's very organized.
Yeah, it is somewhat organized. It's not very organized, but it is somewhat organized. Hey, everybody, welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
Well, yeah, recording once again. You notice it might be a little bit brighter in here.
That also, yeah. Do you change light bulbs?
I put batteries in my little lights.
Yeah.
So the shelves are somewhat lit up again. There's still a few more shelves that I need to finish lighting up and stuff like that, changing the batteries out and stuff. But yeah, so it got bright.
Oh, I can see more stuff under
there. Yeah, I know it, right? Yeah, exactly. I've been going on a vintage spending spree lately, man. Like, it's been ridiculous. Like,
let's go over that. I can't even keep up with.
Dude.
I mean, you went to the G.I. Joe show.
Went to the G.I. Joe show and picked up a bunch of figures there. And then whenever I came back, I wound up getting another Obi-Wan Kenobi. I got a Bespin, second Bespin guard, because they did a white face Bespin guard and a black face Bespin guard. So I got the black face Bespin guard. I don't know if there's another PC way to say that, but that's about as close as what I can get. So I'm sorry if I offended anybody there, but that's, you know, what they call it. Got that. This is one thing I wanted to pull. I was kind of hiding this because this is probably like one of my most favorite things that I picked up.
Oh yeah.
And I got that. That's not the one I had as a kid, but that's exactly the same book that I had that I got a long time ago at a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Mm-hmm. Remember the book fair that used to come through at school?
Scholastic, yeah.
Yeah, the Scholastic Book Fair. I initially got that book way back then at one of the book fairs there in the school. I want to say it was like, dude, it might have been in like my middle school or something like that. Because it was a few years. I do remember it was a few years after the movie, and I remember seeing it. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to get that.
Yeah.
Remember those though, whenever they come through?
No, I still have mine from the 70s.
Oh, yeah, really?
Because I have the original Star Wars.
Oh, really? Book. Heck yeah.
Yeah, I need to show it to you next time you come over. I mean,
yeah, you do.
I read it so many times, like I had to put tape. I didn't know what I was doing. And as a little kid, I had like this green tape on the spine.
Oh, really?
But I loved it so much.
Oh, yeah.
I would, you know, we didn't have VCRs when we're so old. There were no VCRs when we were like really little
I remember our aunt was the first person I remember had a VCR.
So they could tape the soap operas.
So her and Ma could tape the soap operas. And you remember the remote control that they had for it? It wasn't even really, it was a remote control in the sense that you didn't have to get up and press the button on the thing.
Right.
But it had an actual cord that linked the controller to the VCR.
Yeah.
And I remember it wasn't a very long cord because you would have to like, basically if you went over there and she was watching stuff on the VCR, you'd have to like limbo underneath the cord because it was like stuck, you know, pulled straight. That's not your PST, man. What's going on?
man.
Are you selling out?
No.
Oh, okay.
The gas station, I stop. I'm a creature of habit. Like, yeah. My ritual is go to Dave's,
yeah,
drive a certain route that I follow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I stop at the gas station downtown.
Yeah.
Walk in, get a piece of tea. And they just didn't have any. I'm like,
bums, what the heck?
I mean, I don't want a monster. So I've got a Zion's Energy, Fuji Apple, zero calories, zero sugar.
Okay.
Natural.
Zion's, it makes it sound.
Flavors and colors, vitamin fortified. Sounds like it's supposed to be good for me, so.
Makes it sound fancy by calling it Zion's.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but these storybooks, The Return of the Jedi, the storybook based on the movie, Random House published this one. I think I even had that. You got it for a good deal if that's the price you got it for.
Actually, yeah, that is exactly what I paid
$10
for.
$10.
Yeah, $10, man.
And that's in perfect condition.
Oh, yeah.
A book that old. Like I said, I have mine, and it's just beat up, but it's one of my prized possessions, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I love it. And because we, you know, you wanted to experience it, you could either go and get, when they started doing the comic books.
You could do the comic books.
Or you get these or the novelizations. And I loved them. And my wife, one of my wife's favorite movies from when she was younger was the Robin Hood with Kevin Costner.
Oh, Freeman, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't know my only experience with these kinds of books was with the Star Wars ones. I just never noticed it. Well, we were treasure hunting at my secret honey hole up in Gainesville.
Yeah.
And there's this big basement I was going through, and this lady had a booth with all these books about movies, like Clint Eastwood's movies.
Yeah.
Big paperbacks, and she had them way overpriced. Like, the movies of Humphrey Bogart, and it was like you just go through it and it talked about every movie this person was in. I was like, God, I'd really love these.
Yeah.
But I'm not paying $25 for a book published in the 60s.
And for a paperback of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's just too much.
Sitting on the shelf was the exact same format.
Really?
The Robin Hood storybook.
Really?
Prince of Thieves storybook. And I'm like, do you want this? Because it's like $3. I'm like, she's like, yeah, I like that, but I don't guess. I don't know. You're getting it.
Yeah.
You have to. I have to have.
You kind of have to.
I've got a problem. It's a book, and it's about something that I love, you know, Robin Hood. And
man, like, you know, it's kind of funny. You sit there and you're like, yeah, man, I got a problem. You can talk about your books while you're sitting in here in the Smithsonian, and we're just completely, totally surrounded by.
Yeah.
Everything that is Star Wars and stuff like that.
We are kind of like grumpy old men and end up living near each other, and we'll have like a building that we share.
Dude, that's like the best idea in the world.
My library. Yeah, that would be cool.
I like that idea. We need to make that happen.
Well, I've got 20 acres, and I'm like an acre's promise to my in-laws when they ever want to retire and move out closer to us, if they ever do.
Yeah.
I could carve off an acre for you.
I'll buy an acre from you. Yeah. I won't even be, yeah, I'll just pay for it. And then we can put a building right in the middle of it.
Yes.
And then what we can do. Oh, dude, this is the greatest idea ever.
It's my dream to have.
Seriously.
Have a building that's just for the stuff.
Yeah. We could have the building and like basically have like y'all's library on one end.
Yeah.
We can have the Star Wars collection on the other end. And in the middle of it, we can almost set up like a little theater type thing.
Yep.
With like a projector and some really nice comfy chairs. We could get together and watch movies once almost every day.
Oh, God.
Holy crap, dude. How have we not thought about this before?
I don't know.
Like, this is like,
we're not rich and can't afford to do any of it, but someday.
Dude, honestly.
That's a goal. I think we established a goal right here because it's like.
Right.
Little clubhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Dude. I'm sold. I'm game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we could get like little four wheelers to drive over to it. We could like have like, we had to call them something. I could decorate mine up to look like a speeder bike or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome. Or like the Mars rover or something cool like that.
Chitty chitty bang bang.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's a callback to a really old.
No kidding, man. I don't think I've seen that one in a really long time, man. Is that the one where it has a ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, jing, jang, wallow, bing, bang, ooh, ee, ooh, ah,
I don't know.
Ding,
I remember that song, but this is a Dick Van Dyke movie.
I know it, man. Dick Van Dyke, man. Like, you think about like that dude. He was in a lot of really good, like a lot of my favorite movies have Dick Van Dyke in them.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Mary Poppins, my like most favorite, Disney, live action movie is like Dick Van Dyke. And I can't think of what her name was, but yeah, man. Like, yeah, I mean, God bless that dude. And he's still alive, too, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to be getting up there in age, too, because I don't know.
You jinxed him.
I did. Oh, well.
Shame on you.
That's all right, though. I mean, it happens, man. As long as what's her name and him. I can't. Why can I think of who played Mary Poppins right now?
I can't either. I don't know if I had ever watched it.
Yeah.
It's not one of those.
I love it. I watch it probably at least like once a year. It's not like Star Wars or anything like that to where I watch that.
I know I watched it. I think it's one of those I probably watched at school.
Oh, yeah.
I never got to see again.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got the Blu-ray, dude. I'll send the Blu-ray home with you. Yeah. Yeah, because seriously, man.
Lots of singing, Ryan.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, it's a Disney movie.
Delilah would love that.
Yeah, it's a Disney movie, so it's got tons of singing. But, like, you know, it's got the Jim Jiminy, Jim Jim Jeru, as sweet as lucky, whatever. Yeah, man. I there we go. I'd kind of gotten away from singing on every episode, but I think that's, like, twice now.
Yeah.
In this one. I'm making up for it is what it is.
The corner of the clubhouse could be a place for you to I have a piano in there for Lila, and you can jam with her on your bass.
Heck yeah, dude. And we could also set it up to where we could record in there, too. So,
yeah.
Yeah, dude. I like it.
My wife would hate it because she'd never see us. She'd never just come out there. We'll have a section in there for her to do art and stuff.
Yeah.
And
oh, God, yeah. The art stuff would be on the opposite end of the Star Wars stuff.
I just need to gut my house that I have now, and it would be the perfect size for this.
Right. So what are we doing? We should start getting to work on this, like, right now.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, honey.
Sorry y'all don't have a place to live anymore.
We're going to rent one of those little, get one of those rent-to-own cabin things.
Yeah.
That you no credit check. We're just going to sleep in there. And
get you a tiny house.
Yeah, yeah. Those are interesting.
I know it, dude. There's no way I could do it, though.
Oh, no.
No way I could do it. Like, especially, like, whenever I see people that they're doing the tiny house living with, like, their significant other. Like, I've been around, I've even been married before, you know, and I loved my ex-wife. I did. I enjoyed spending time with her and all like this type of good stuff, but there's no way in hell I could have been able to share like a tiny house with her because that's constantly in each other's personal space just about like nonstop.
Yeah.
Unless one of you is outside and the other one's inside.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I've got to have my separation time. You know, like I see people that I work with that like they work with their spouse. They never get away from them. They drive to work with them in the morning. They work on the same area with them. And then they go to lunch with them. They go to break with them and then they go home with them. And it's like, dude, when do you get your downtime? I don't know. I've had my ex-wife that I loved. I've had girlfriends that I've loved and stuff like that. And I love spending time with them, but I've also like loved my downtime in my alone time or whatever. So
just to defragment the old brain and
I don't know. So what's Michael been up to this week, man?
Just working, man. Working and
dude, join
waiting on you to finish a book.
Oh, I know it. I finally finished it yesterday. I got to finish it yesterday at work, which was good. I'm glad that I got to finish it. But like as soon as I finished it, I was like, well, crap. What am I going to, like, I want the next book now. I want the next book
right now.
Because I can't wait anymore. Like, you.
Like, that's what I told you. It's like the anticipation is killing me.
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting for so long because work's kept you from listening a lot.
Oh, dude.
And I told Paul last time I talked with him, I was like, I've read this. I seriously think it's one of the best things I've ever read. It's one of the things I've enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. The writing is so dang good.
Oh, yeah.
And the story is so compelling. And they're so good at the cliffhangers, you know, and making you question what's about to happen. And there's the part where, I don't know if we want to, should we go ahead and
We'll just go ahead and say spoilers from this point out on Tiamat's Wrath from the
Expanse. Because I've been dying.
Yeah.
To talk about somebody dying for weeks
now. Oh, my God.
I poured through the book in like 2-3 days at work on long days.
Yeah.
And there was a part, and I remember, I think I even messaged you. I didn't want to give you any foreshadowing of it, but it just like freaked me out so much I had to tell somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Because I went home that day and told my wife, oh, yeah, so-and-so died, and it just made me cry. I'm like, she just kind of looked at me like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And I'm, so Amos.
Yeah.
Well, the beginning of the book, it starts out, you get your Holden time, you get your Naomi time, you get your Alex and Bobby time. They're all kind of, Alex and Bobby, they're together. Naomi's in a shipping crate somewhere else. like they're the rebels. They're the underground. They're the resistance.
Yeah.
And to borrow from like Star Wars against the Laconian Empire, and the head of the Laconian Empire, he's the emperor.
He's the emperor. Yeah.
Parallels to Star Wars are deep in this book.
Very much so. Yeah.
And, but where's Amos? And they said, well, Amos went out and never hasn't been heard from since. And it goes on and on. And then there's this moving part of the book where Bobby and Naomi and Alex are talking like, and I'm like, I think I even told you, said there's a part in the book coming up where they're preparing us for death of yeah. the loved characters.
Oh, yeah.
And you wait. And then all of a sudden, here's Amos.
Yeah.
Timothy
living in a cave,
a little hermit,
yeah,
who's best friends with the emperor's daughter.
A very much Ben Kenobi role in this movie.
Yes,
because he's kind of like her. He's like almost like, I wouldn't say her moral compass, but which I don't think Amos could be anybody's moral compass with, well, you know, the stuff that he's gone through and done and stuff like that. But he's got one now. Yeah, he definitely does have a moral compass. Like he's like whatever. And like we said earlier, spoiler alert, like whenever she's there at the end and they're kind of escaping or whatever. Yeah. And he asks her, does she if she likes this guy, and she's like, no. And he's okay. Bam,
yeah.
bam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's much later. And that's another thing that's so cool.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So he was sent there to detonate a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, what they call a pocket nuke. So I'm just thinking of a nuclear bomb that's small enough to fit in your pocket that's going to do some serious devastation. And
he had charts that showed the kill radius of the city and how much damage it would do. And he never did it because of her.
Yeah.
Because she was like, what, 14, 15. She has a birthday party and she turns 15 or
yeah.
16
yeah,
in the book.
Yeah, 15 because they even mentioned it being her quinceañera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, see, I love also the cool cultural things that they carry forward
from Earth, yeah.
like hundreds and hundreds of years later.
Oh, yeah. Where the people that settled on Mars was like a weird mixture of
Texas and India.
And Mexico,
yeah.
yeah.
Anyhow, but he meets her. She's in this rebellious stage because she's the emperor's daughter and everything is regimented for her. No one can touch her. She doesn't have any real friends because she's the emperor's daughter. It's like growing up being Prince Charles or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, so she learns how she can escape.
Yeah.
And she finds Timothy is what he's going under. And she just goes and visits him with her little dog and stuff. And they become friends. And so he's like, I can't kill this kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he can kill anybody,
but he can't hurt her.
He can't hurt her.
Yeah.
And yeah. And she goes one night to see him and the moments leading up, and he's like, okay, kid, you need to cover your eyes.
And lay on the floor.
Lay on the floor.
Yeah.
And then he's in his cave, and I guess he didn't have a lot of heavy weapons. But just like you told me, he said, like, he's been through worse things than this. How did this happen? It's because he was just outgunned and had nowhere to go.
It did even mention that, you know, it keeps mentioning that these characters are getting older, you know, and it mentioned Naomi having a full head of white hair now.
Oh yeah.
And it even mentioned that Amos had a full white beard.
Yeah.
Of course, that's the one thing that's bugged me on the TV show was that whenever you see Amos on the TV show, I like the guy that they have playing Amos. Yeah,
he's a great actor,
and he, like, whenever I see them talk about him in the book, I actually picture that character as him, but with the bald head.
Yeah.
Because Amos in the book is bald, but the character playing him on TV has, like, I guess kind of like a buzz cut, kind of like a crew cut type thing. Just a really short haircut.
Yeah, and
like,
the latest season is even longer. So they just
really
like the heck with it.
Yeah.
When I first read the books before I saw the series, I always imagined Vin Diesel or somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah, no, exactly.
Or, you know, even The Rock, shaved head.
Yeah.
Big, muscular. I guess he's not supposed to be that tall, though.
Well, and the way they described him in this book is he's supposed to be pretty blasted tall because he's, like, able to walk up and, I think, like, hug Naomi and Teresa and, like, wrap them both up along with somebody else all at the same time and just, like...
He's a big dude.
He's supposed to be, like, a big, giant, kind of like teddy bear almost. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. A teddy bear that can snap at the... you know, moment and kill everybody in the room with, you know, barehanded or whatever.
But that moment when her I guess, what would you call the guy that kind of handles her guard and her mentor that kind of handles her schedule and stuff, roll up. And he's like, a bullet takes off like the top of
his head.
Amos's head.
And see, that's the thing, man. Like whenever that happened, like I was just like, no, Amos isn't dead. Amos isn't dead because like he's had stuff like this in the past. Like it was like the book before the book. It was either two books before one where they're on the other before they went to Freehold and stuff like that. The book before that one where I can't remember what it was where they were on the planet and they had the
well, it's where Miller's still, Miller's still there. Yeah.
Where the neurotoxin slugs are coming out of the ground and stuff like that. And they find a lot of the makers or whatever you want to call them, the artifacts.
Well, that's
there.
The one where, Holden and him and another guy and Amos gets shot then.
Yeah. Amos gets shot in the back of the head then. And so I was like, oh, okay. So Amos isn't dead. This is like blah, blah, blah.
But the way they described it, no, it was like he didn't just get like nicked or hit. He was gone.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was just, I remember I had to pause it right before it happened because I'm like, they're not going to do this. they're not going to kill I don't want any of them to die in the books. This is how good the story is for me. So I'm talking like they're real people.
Oh, yeah.
Please don't kill Amos.
Right?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then I paused and then I played it and I was like, okay, I had to stop and then breathe. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dave is going to freak out. I said, I can see him at work and I can see him working and listening. And I see him just dropping his tools, taking his phone and throwing it, smashing it against the wall.
It was pretty close.
You texted me, you messaged me. I've been waiting for this moment and you messaged me.
Yeah.
The day it happened.
Immediately it happened.
Like, what did you say? He's like,
I said, every effing Laconian has to effing die.
Yeah.
There was some foul language in it. I cleaned it up as much as what I possibly could.
Oh, it was such an awesome moment because I was like, oh my God, I can breathe because I've been keeping this secret about Amos being dead.
Oh my goodness.
But it's like he's not.
Yeah. Well,
which is a cool twist. I was hesitant. They lead up. Okay. The doctor, you're talking about the planet where, Miller and Holden go and that he actually goes into this void and sees the history. It's like he becomes and goes on a weird acid trip and sees everything at once and understands everything about the protomolecule and all this kinda. And then he goes through that and comes out. And that's where you first meet the doctor that's working on Laconia.
Yeah.
As an assistant to that creepster that wants to kill the Teresa, the Emperor's.
Oh, yeah. He's like the mad scientist. And they said that he worked for, who was it?
Worked for the people that first had the prototype.
Yeah. And I can't think of what was it called? Like, it's not engine. Engines from freaking.
Something like that.
Though. Yeah. Engines from Jurassic Park. What was the name of the, I can't remember what the name of
the initial, corporation.
Yeah,
the corporation. Initial bad guy and that whose daughter was, became Peaches.
Yeah. Oh, Mao. Yeah.
Mao.
Yeah.
Julie Mao.
Yeah. And then, his other daughter became Peaches because the first one, which was like the original catalyst or whatever was Julie Mao or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, Oh yeah, man. Yeah. It's such a complex story. It's such a great story. And like you said, man, like they've done so well building these characters that like I said, man, like whenever they said Amos got killed, I was like, dude, I got pissed off and then I went through the stages of grieving just
denial.
About. Yeah. Cause then I got pissed off and then I went to denial and I started thinking, I was like, okay, hold on. Like they were mentioning like these repair drones.
Yeah.
Repair drones have to play some
and
part.
And I was having trouble understanding even what those things were.
Yeah. Just cause they just kind of appeared, but they were like hanging around Amos or whatever. And I was like, well, why are these things hanging around Amos? Like, what's the point of these repair drones and stuff like that?
And
like,
then
you
meet the two little kids that are like 60 years old, but ageless.
And then that just like really creeped me out. And I was like, what the heck? And then
very creepy. But it's like they were treated as pieces of meat. Is it Cortazar? Is that the name of the doctor?
The
guy that's working with,
I can't remember.
Forgive us for not, cause I, got enough.
Cortassa. Cortassa is one of them. I think Cortassa is the one that was like, he was the like evil mad scientist guy from
that's
the,
been working because the emperor is basically seeking immortality for himself and for his daughter. They're experimenting. They learn how to kind of control a proto molecule. So he's getting like all these super enhancements. He doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
He barely has to eat, I think. He's got all this energy. It's almost like they're making him into a super, they're making him into a god.
No, exactly. Yeah. Cause they even reference him as basically like, what do they call him? The god emperor or god ruler or something like that. Like, yeah. Cause they even reference him as that, in the book, few times actually. So yeah, no, that's technically exactly what they were doing but
some kids died. So apparently those repair drones are there and they fix things,
including
people,
bodies.
Like you're supposed to, somebody dies on Laconia, you're supposed to,
I guess, like burn them like White Walkers almost.
Yeah.
Or
because definitely don't let them near a repair drone. Cause I guess they've done a really good job of controlling it because they ended up with like the two kids that they kept in a cage.
Yeah.
And like the one little boy was no telling what that evil SOB did to him because he was always crying.
Yeah.
The girl was tough and she's like, are you going to hurt us too?
Yeah.
And the lady doctor that has been assigned to help because something happens that we haven't got to, was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, she was horrified. Like, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
This is really bad. What I'm involved with. But I have to, you know, I got to keep my nose clean and, you know, try to help figure out what the heck's going on. The emperor, something happens. There are these moments when, how do you explain what's happening when that little flash, like there's an attack from the people that killed.
Oh, that killed the creators or whatever.
Yeah.
Man, that's a tough one because because none of the characters really in the story really even know what's going on. It's like these flashes and what they're doing.
Time stops.
Yeah. They're trying to do these, I guess because I think what they said is what happened was that initially, like the creators, what they were able to do was like take out their like consciousness or whatever, which basically killed them all. Mm-hmm. Because they seem to me like they were kind of like a hive mind type thing.
Yeah.
They seemed like a hive mind to me. I don't know if I'm reaching and not really getting on that, but it's kind of what it is because they said that the children that they found that had died and came back because of the repair drones that they said that they, whenever they've interviewed them, they said that they don't know how they know this stuff, but they just know it.
Well, you saw that also with the proto molecule earlier in the series, something would happen to something that's affected by the proto molecule million miles away. And almost instantaneously a proto molecule, I don't even know how you just, this is so complex for me to even.
Oh yeah. It was just all,
it's instant, together. Instantaneously. The proto molecule is always gathering information and passing it to other things. Like when they had the little mutant rocket man, they shot up, they were shooting towards Mars at the end of one of the books. That they had to like track down and kill all of them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the information is like there. And so they're encountering something that's coming to destroy everything that had initially wiped out the creators of the proto molecule the first time.
Yeah.
And these flashes happen and it's like everybody kind of like slows down and they lose time. And sometimes it's like a really bad accident.
Yeah. They just lose consciousness is what it is,
but not the emperor.
Yeah. It totally like jellyfied his brain and it goes to make sense, man. Like I really liking how they did that because it goes to make sense because what it seems like to me is what it did is it killed the proto molecule side of him. So basically he's still alive.
Yeah.
But it's just like the basic functions and
but
stuff.
But he also has.
He's seeing something.
He's seeing something. He's like, he's going off into. Yeah, he's somewhere.
Yeah.
He's attached to something. And he does hear because his daughter comes to him and visits him when he's in this like catatonic state almost, right?
Yeah.
And she says, I really don't like him. I think he wants to hurt me. The talking about Cortassa, something like that. Dr. Cortassa.
Yeah.
And there's this chilling moment where they're trying to get him prepped to try to do something like make a video or something like that. And the doctor's there, and he starts freaking out a little bit. Why can't I remember the name?
Cortaza,
of the,
yeah.
The emperor, though.
Yeah. Oh, the it starts with a D. Crap. This is killing me, man. Like, we're doing awful at
yeah,
this.
Yeah, well, it's because I listened to it, and I don't... I know, if I had the actual print, I could just look it up and remember.
I know it, right? Like, oh, man.
But he's freaking out, and the nice doctor, lady, yeah. She goes up and touches his hand, and he calms down. And Cortaza goes up, and he's like, oh, blah, 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 just do it. And something happens, like the emperor does this motion.
Yeah.
Like he breathes out or something. And does something, and it's almost like magic, and all of a sudden, half of this doctor, the evil doctor's head, is just gone.
Yeah, just
like chopped it in half and splattered it against the wall, and everybody's like, everybody else in the room, because there are like two or three people there, because this is a big conspiracy, it's a secret, they've been keeping this under wraps that the emperor is incapacitated.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I'll be going now. They just walk out of the room and leave him in there with a dead body.
Yeah. And they send the one guy back in to go and carry him, like, back over to his quarters and stuff like that.
What the heck is going on with him, though? Because he might have got cut off from the protomolecule or something got killed in him, but he has, like, that's, I mean, if he could just do that, he could wipe out, he's like a.
Yeah, he's
a tank.
Yeah, no, exactly, man. Like, that's one thing that I'm still like, he's like, oh man, like you can't count Laconia out of the whole thing yet.
Oh,
I'm wondering if he's going to wind up coming back, and that's driving me up the wall. I'm kind of right there with you. It's driving me up the wall that I can't think of his name right now. And I'm going to look it up, see if I can't find it right quick.
There's so many cool things. I mean, we're rambling around here, so
we're
probably not spoiling it for anybody because we're probably not being that coherent, but it's one of those stories that's got so many pieces to it, kind of like Game of Thrones, but to me, it's even better than Game of Thrones to the extent that it's not so complex.
Oh, yeah. Duarte,
he's been around for a long, he's been around since the very beginning of the series.
Yeah, because he was part of the Martian Navy or whatever, and he's... took a little special little sect and let them off whenever there was the big, I guess it's kind of like the UN and Martian kind of like, war going on or whatnot. But one thing I will say, one thing that got me that really kind of like speaks to the prowess, the writing ability of James S.A. Corey, the two writers, was a character that I didn't really have that much of a draw to. Like, I enjoyed the character. I liked the character, but it wasn't like one of my favorite characters was Bobby Draper.
Yeah.
And like her, like, whole death scene, like, it didn't, again, like what we said earlier, spoiler alert, fellas, like her whole death didn't bother me at all. What got me was whenever they cut basically to Alex and he starts
his reaction.
That's what got me. I'm even getting chill bumps talking about it, man, because it was, his reaction was so lifelike and written so well that
you could see it happening in real life, like here now. Let's say you're in combat.
Oh yeah,
you see your buddy just goes out and takes out a German defense, you know, box by himself. Or herself
running at it
and dies in the process of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, we got to get over there. We got to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to get there. We're going to like intersect and save her.
Yeah.
And he's like, even after it's like obvious that there's no saving her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cause it was pretty clear that she took a PDC round straight through the thing and it was venting everything out of the suit. And it was like, if the PDC round didn't get her, then the venting would have and all like that, man. Like, yeah, it was.
I had a similar reaction. I mean, I really liked the character of her and she played an important part because she was hardcore Marine.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
she took charge, and if there was a mission, she finished it.
Yeah.
One way or another, she was going, and she held everybody to the same standards, whether they were trained or not. You're not going to screw things up. You're going to hold your part up. I liked her and respected her, but I had a similar reaction. Like, I think they put it, because it happens almost immediately after Amos dies.
Yeah.
And it's like almost too close because I was still feeling the whatever weird failing about a fictional character dying. I was still processing that. And then there's this, and you know, if this is basically she goes out on her own. They have this mission where they're going to take out the big super. They're taking out the Death Star.
That's exactly what it is.
And they have it all planned to a T. It has to go perfect. And of course, what happens? Nothing goes perfect.
Yeah.
Something goes wrong and she's left alone on this little ship that's supposed to launch this antimatter bomb, basically, and destroy the big Death Star that took out the entire Mars and Earth navies. And she's like, nope, I'm going to do this anyhow. So she puts on her suit, jumps out with one of these missiles and figures out how to launch it towards the ship at the right perfect spot.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, I can't get back to my ship. I can't get anywhere. So she's like, to heck with it. And she just pulls out her guns and starts blazing like a crazy person.
Oh, yeah.
It would, to see it on a screen, or, you know, if it had been spaced out a little bit more, I think I would have been like really like overpowered by the image of that. It's David and Goliath.
Oh God. Yeah. Well, and, like your analogy was perfect whenever you said it was like the guy charging the pillbox in World War II or whatever, you know, guns ablazing, but this would be more like a guy charging a freaking, a destroyer battleship or aircraft carrier on a small little dinky boat with the gun blazing and stuff like that. And, but little does the aircraft carrier know that there's a giant torpedo headed for it also because it's in their blind spot or whatever, you know?
And like you said, Alex is watching this. He's like, oh God, that's Bobby.
Yeah.
And like, the smart thing for them to do is try to get away.
Yeah.
But it's like, he's like, that's Bobby. I'm going to get her. I'm going to get her. Yeah, I got to get to her.
That's the part that killed me.
Yeah.
That's the part that killed me was like his determination to swing the ship around and swoop back in there and pick her up no matter like what. Like that's your part of your crew. That's your fallen teammate. They're that's your
family.
Member.
Yeah. That's one of the things about them. They're family. I mean, they spend more. I mean, they're in their 60s by now.
Have to be, because they were saying Alex was older than most of the people. So I would picture Alex probably in like his 70s or whatever. But they've got like the regeneration like drugs, I guess, that they take. That kind of
they're probably in their
30s
or 40s still physically.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. And it's just so powerful.
Oh,
That part. And then.
But like you said, they do hit you with the 1-2 punch really quick because they kill Amos off. And then like not even like 20 minutes later, you're going through the whole death of Bobby thing and stuff like that. And it's like, good God, man. Like it was all I had. It's like, it's all I had in me at work to like keep it together. And I was just like, dude, like stop it. God, like you're killing me, man. And
we barely even mentioned Holden.
Oh, yeah.
He's living this weird existence.
Yeah.
Captivity on Laconia.
And to kind of put it on like a Star Wars, like what we were talking about just a second ago, I kind of picture Holden as like the Han and Carbonite being held captive by Jabba the Hutt, because that's kind of what it is, except for like he kind of compares himself to the dancing bear in the book where he's being held captive by this,
Duarte.
He's been held captive by this Duarte, but he's like allowed to like roam around free.
Because what can he do?
Because what can he do? He compares himself to the dancing bear and all like this type of stuff. And that the ruler looks even more powerful by letting him to roam free because he knows that he's been clipped. He can't do anything. He's basically like the parrot who is able to roam free inside the house, but you don't worry about sitting with the windows open because you can't fly away because
one of the reasons Holden is even there is because he kind of chose that path because he knows there's a bigger threat and he knows that they have I think he went there to try to convince them you need to stop messing around with this molecule and it's turned into where they're doing all a bunch of research.
Yeah.
He has this weird
And his whole like plot line to like kind of get inside and like expose Cortassa and stuff like that. Like
really clever stuff going on that kind of gets revealed. A lot happens at the very end of the book.
The good lady scientist LV, name just hit me. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. So I had to shout it out.
LV's there. A lot of weird stuff happens at the end. A lot happens fast. The little girl decides she wants to escape from Laconia. She's had enough of this life. Her dad's a vegetable, a creepy half brain smashing vegetable guy now.
Right.
And everybody tells her what to do. They don't listen to her. She's supposed to be this person with respect and authority, but they just like don't treat her that well.
Yeah.
She has a plot to get out. She takes Holden with them as a bargaining tool. She thinks she's taking him.
Yeah. And he's, kind of like
manipulated her into
falling into his game plan and stuff like that. So the dog.
Yeah.
What do you think about the dog, by the way? Muskrat, the dog. Like, I feel like there's something more to the dog than what meets the eye.
What do you mean?
I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like, you know how they said that she had a tracker implanted in her jaw whenever she was a kid, and that's how they were able to find her and all like this. I feel like there's something about the dog that, you know, like, I don't know if the dog is like kind of like another tracker, or maybe he's kind of like genetically engineered to where they can even like get visual on her from the dog and all like this good stuff. So there's, I'm not
like,
counting
like sending a signal of every conversation that's happening.
Exactly.
That is interesting.
I'm not counting out Laconia, and I'm not counting out Duarte yet, because like obviously Duarte was still very much alive and he was still having a little bit of cognizance and stuff like that, since he was able to blow that dude's head up and he was able to understand what his daughter had said to him there at one point in time, because, you know, she mentioned that, I think it was Cortaza that was trying to kill her and all like this. And so, like, I'm not counting out Duarte. I'm not counting out Laconia, because they still have at least one big battleship still left. The Magnetar class battleship, the Whirlwind or whatever. I can't remember the other two names that got destroyed, but the other two names, one of them got destroyed by the beings. One of them got destroyed by the beings, which caused Duarte to have his thing anyways, because something happened and that lost that one battleship, caused Duarte to kind of go to his catatonic state and all like this. But it also caused a whole bunch of other stuff, because like LV and all of them kind of got attacked by it also.
Yes.
They lost one battleship due to Bobby, because she basically took it down single-handedly with the little, with her, as Alex said, coming out of the nowhere, coming out of the blackness like a freaking Valkyrie, just guns a-blazing and stuff like that, followed up by this torpedo with the antimatter on it and stuff. And
there's the pulse, I'll call it a pulse.
That's probably the best thing for it, is because it just
kinda took out the where the rings are. It took out everything inside there that, no one can. Because they had those bases there that were controlling and monitoring with weapons on it to control who went through. Well, that's gone.
Yeah.
And then another thing, Naomi ends up becoming the head of the resistance, the rebels, the underground. And they're going on a suicide mission to Laconia to take out the big, the platforms that construct the Magnetar destroyer, battleships, spaceships. And, it's
it
like
took a, out, took out Medina Station also. Sorry.
Medina Station. Yeah. Medina took Station. It out.
Yeah.
So it's conveniently. So the girl wants to get out. She escapes with Holden. She goes in there and tases a guard, and they walk out. He's dressed in a uniform, and they get to the cave, because that's where, there's a code that has to be sent, like Amos had, that she found, that here's how you get out.
Yeah.
She had to go to the pickup site. And of course, the security guy, her handler, her bodyguard guy, of course, comes to get her. And then it's like, I was waiting for this moment. And it's like, yep, here comes Amos.
Oh, yeah.
Except it's Amos, but he's got black eyes. His skin's gray.
Yeah. I like to call him the zombie Amos. Yeah. But he's not really a zombie, because
it's Amos.
It's Amos. He even asked, Holden, and again, it's like, at the very end of the book, and it's kind of one of the most chilling parts of the book, where
this is the part. Yeah, I was telling you, it gave me the chills. You explain it, but yeah, Holden goes, they're talking.
Yeah, they're talking, and basically Holden goes back to confront Amos about like who he really is now, and he goes, "Are you Amos?" And he goes, "Yes, I'm Amos."
Only the way Amos can do it, though. Yeah, Cap.
Yeah.
Who else would I be?
I mean, like, good God. Like, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's Amos. And I can't remember exactly what's said there at the end.
He asks him like three times. Are you?
Yeah.
How do you know the same question? How do you know these things? Like, he's like, I died.
Yeah.
And I'm not dead.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but I see things now. I know things I'm not supposed to know. And Holden's kind of asking him, what is it? This thing that's out there, it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
And it's coming for it's going to kill everything.
Yeah.
It's coming to destroy everything.
Yeah.
I just gave myself a, yeah, it's like this threat that we've been worried about. Yeah, you better get ready.
It's real and it's coming. Yeah. And it's basically like, and that's basically the end of the book. That it's, that's where it
is. The setup is the end of all life in,
as we know it,
as period. We know it, yeah. is going to get wiped out real soon.
Yeah.
Whatever it is out there does it. It's, yeah. That's coming.
And they deducted, they kind of like deducted that these attacks where if you, where they were knocking people out and causing them to lose consciousness for like 3 minutes or whatever, that's how they knocked out the original makers of the protomolecule.
Yeah.
And that it's kind of looking at like the human race as like a virus, to where like a virus mutates and changes, to where like, say you get the flu and you go get a flu virus. Well, the flu shot doesn't do anything for you, because now it's not just the regular flu virus. It's like the pig flu, because it's now mutated a little bit or whatever. So the flu shot doesn't do anything for you. So that's kind of what they're like, I guess, kind of like picturing like the human races now is like, it's not the same as the creators of the proto molecule, to where it's similar, but not the same. And so now they're trying to find out. They said that as they noticed that it had changed the second time around, because the second time around they kind of went, it kind of seemed like almost like a out of body like trip, like, kind of like the way I would kind of guess that, like tripping on acid or something like that, is by the way that they described it or whatever, like kind of like
see themselves breaking apart into their atoms and then come back together or something like that.
Yeah, and then like all the different colors and like out of body consciousness type of like moving type thing or whatever, like a transcendental, like a meditation type thing or whatever. Like, I don't know if that's,
I just can't wait to see, because like you said, how are they going to wrap it up?
Yeah.
It's going to have to be.
If it's going to be one book, it's going to have to like, yeah.
They can do it. I have complete faith in these guys.
Oh, God, yeah.
I can't wait, because I think they've already got they've got another, I think it's going to be it's called a space opera trilogy.
Yeah.
Space opera. I wonder where they got that term. Right. I'm like, oh, God, what are they going to do with that? What's this going to be?
Right.
I mean, I want them to be writing the Star Wars.
Yeah, no.
Universe. I want them in. If you want to pass on and really have a good, I mean, there's 9 movies right here.
Oh, God, yeah.
For the Expanse, they could make full 9 3-hour movies.
Oh, God.
Or 8 right now, up to now.
Yeah.
Easily.
Easily. Yeah. And like, I tell everybody, like, if you're watching the TV show's good.
It's very good.
I've enjoyed the TV show. The TV show doesn't hold a candle to the blasted, to the books. The books are just amazing. And I know that we're always kissing butts of authors and stuff like that. But like, I mean, like, man, you want to get me? That's how you get me. You give me a good story that draws me in and really like pulls me in and starts making me feel for these characters and stuff like that. And there's very few people that have done it. And one of them is this James S.A. Corey. The other is Pierce Brown. You know, there's not a whole hell of a lot of people that have really drawn me in like that or whatever. The other one's Jim Butcher. And you know, there's characters that he's written that's like, oh man, like, you know, I'm not going to say anything because you're still reading the series and stuff like that. Yeah. But there's a character in there that I love that has a very horrible ending, basically. Oh, yeah. And it's just like, oh man, like that was one that I had to stop. And I was like, okay, I'll come back to you in about 20 minutes because right now I can't deal with this. I got to sit there on my aisle and keep from like crying here at work. And like this is just ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, well, luckily, and I was so excited because I finished the Tiamat's Wrath, and it's like, okay, now Red Rising, end of this month, and you brought me back to reality. Dude, isn't that like next month?
Yeah, it's July the 30th. That's okay, though.
Because it gives us time to...
It gives us time to, like, go through and read, because I'm going to start back tomorrow. I'm going to start back on Red Rising and then kind of go on and hopefully I'll be on, within how many hours I'm working right now, there's no problem that I'll be able to get through these books.
They're not near as long as some other things.
No, they're pretty long, but yeah, they're not like
what, 10 to 14 hours.
Yeah, something like that. I think the longest one is around like 20 or something like that. But yeah, they're not like your big tomes, like something like George R. R. Martin or Patrick Rothfuss and stuff like that writes.
Yeah, I'm gonna be diving into that because I have the audio version. I read those books on my Kindle when I first read them.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward, because you told me how good the narrator is on the audio, and Audible had a huge sale, and I went and picked all the books up. So I've got those queued up. Once I finish what I'm on now, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Pierce Brown, though, it's like you said, he's a special talent too. And he's a young dude, and he no telling what he can do in the future.
Yeah. I think he just turned 30 or something like that. And that's just like, I'm like, dude, that's just a natural giving talent to be able to write that well that young. It's almost like he came out of the box with his first book, just swinging for the fences and hit a freaking home run, dude.
I recorded a thing last week, since we didn't get together and record, and I'm insane. And so I just wanted to talk about this book I'd read, that Sos the Rope book by Pierre Vanthoo.
Oh, yes. Is it Sos or is it SOS?
I think it's supposed to be Sos, because you think about it like soul.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it makes sense to me. Yeah.
Anyhow, So I talked about it last week, and it had some really good stuff. But the more I think about it, the more I wonder if Pierce Brown did read this book by Piers Anthony.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, this isn't a knock. I say with admiration, Brown draws from lots of different things.
Oh, God,
from Greek myth and all the way to Norse myth. And then he's got D&D, and he's got Star Wars in there. There's so much going on in there. But there's that whole scene when Darrow, he's low class, he's being manipulated, they're being lied to and by the goals, by everybody else, into thinking that they're doing something for the greater good.
Yeah.
And then he gets killed, wink, wink.
Yeah.
And gets rebuilt into this superhuman.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this whole story, the more I've been thinking about it, is like Piers Anthony's story is there are these people. They're being manipulated. They're being, in some way, I just haven't figured out why, because it's a trilogy and I've got to get through it. But the same thing happens. The hero, he's super intelligent. Darrow is super intelligent. Darrow's quicker than everybody else. This character, Sos, is quicker than everybody else mentally. He's almost the best warrior in the world. He's just got this one guy he can't beat.
Yeah.
So he goes and climbs the mountain. Because he gets defeated at the final time. He's like, I'm done. And they rebuild him almost just like Pierce Brown did with Darrow, where they make him even bigger and stronger and tougher and indestructible. I was like, I guess that might be in other books. Like, I mean, there's a $6 Million Man and there's,
yeah,
but come on. It's almost too perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to read Sos the Rope.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to or not.
I'll do it anyways.
It's a short book. It's 157 pages. It'll be a really quick one.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So, it's interesting. I'm really like what he did, with that story.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just cause I looked it up just a second ago. On Audible, the Red Rising, the first book, is just 16 hours and 2 minutes long.
Okay.
That's how much audio it is. So
2 or 3 days.
Yeah, 2 or 3 days. Yeah. Easy to go through, burn through at work or whatever, whatnot. But yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. So I just downloaded it. So I can start it. I can start it immediately whenever I start work.
Yeah.
Well, as I burn through my other podcasts and things like that I've got to listen to, that's what like takes the most time of my most time at work and stuff like that is podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts and then. Once I finish with my weekly listening of podcasts,
that's when you dive into.
That's whenever I dive into a book. And here recently, like I was kind of waiting, I would get into Tiamat's Wrath, and I had never listened to it, I had never read it, so I wanted to really, really, really fully like be able to get into it and listen to it without having interruptions and stuff. And since we'd had so many new people, I had so many new people coming up asking me questions and blah, 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 and all like this stuff. I hadn't really had an opportunity to really get into it because I'd hit play. And the next thing I know, like 5 minutes later, somebody's tapping me on the shoulder. Hey, do you know what the unshielded distance is on this? And it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finally I was able to break away from all the new people and just like put in my headphones, my little earbuds, and just disappear into like the land of the expanse and just, oh my God, dude.
It's like kind of like at home. That's why it's so hard for me to read at home. Is like, say I'm home, hanging out with Lila and my wife might be gone and that's a good, and oldest daughter might not be there. And it's like, that's a good, perfect opportunity to, opportunity for me to read.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's like you're trying to read and then a lot of the, hey, daddy, let's do this. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Lila, let's go do that. And then, okay, I can go back and I can read. It's like, try to pick up the book, get back into it. Daddy, would you do that? I'm like, yeah. So, yeah. You know, my kid comes first, but at the same time, it's like, can you just be quiet for 30 minutes?
That's why we got to build the club.
But the same thing. Yeah. And if I'm listening to the audio book at work and because we have these two-way radios for communication between different people here and there. And it's like, sometimes they just want to talk and they're just chitter chattering and I either have to turn. I cannot listen to them and listen to the book.
Oh yeah. No.
So it's either one thing has to go and I usually just take the radio and turn it off and keep listening to the book because come on. They're not saying anything relevant to me.
Yeah.
I probably am missing something that I need to know, but it's like, I mean, I got a phone. Call me.
If you really need me that bad, send me a text or call me. One of the two. But man, like this week has been pretty interesting because I finished up Tiamat's Wrath. I basically worked through all of Tiamat's Wrath all this week.
Yeah.
And then I took a little time off on Friday.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I took a little time off on Friday because something went on sale on Friday.
What?
Celebration passes.
What?
Celebration.
So this puts you in a weird position though, because it was so you just went.
I just went.
And don't you usually have an entire year to prepare?
I do. I usually have an entire like buffer year, right? So celebrations in the past, they've had at least two, sometimes even three, all the way up to like 5 years in between the celebrations, right? And this time it was like basically like come home from Chicago, like there at Chicago, they announced that celebration was going to be happening again in 2020. And I understand why they're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, heck yeah.
So like I wasn't a big fan of Anaheim the first time I was in Anaheim. I went to Anaheim and I was like, Anaheim, like I like to call it Anaheim just because I have fun with it calling it Anaheim. So like. The first time I was in Anaheim, I was just like, it's very touristy. It doesn't have like, Orlando's the same way, but Orlando's affordable. Orlando is not going to cost you $20 whenever you go out to go get breakfast or whatever. Now, Chicago and Anaheim, they're very much similar on like the expenditures and stuff like that. But Chicago to me has got soul, whereas Anaheim is very, manufactured. And touristy and stuff like that. Now that's not a knock. I'm not saying that's, you know, some people dig that. Me personally, I'd rather go to a place with a little bit of soul and a little bit of awesomeness or whatever. To me, what I like to call awesomeness. Now other people might look at the touristy place and be like, oh, this is great. Bah! Yeah. You know, that's not my thing. Like I've enjoyed Orlando whenever I've been in Orlando, but that's just because it's so much cheaper. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not knocking Anaheim. I'm just saying like, that's not my bag, basically, you know, if I want to borrow a line from Austin Powers or whatnot. But yeah, man,
not my bag, baby. Well, that's the worst ever. Austin Powers.
That was pretty bad, but I was going to say,
I don't know what I was channeling there. Get Smart.
Something. I don't know. It was a little bit of Get Smart and Michael Scott, maybe.
I'll never try.
Like
oh, yeah. Yeah.
It seemed like Michael Scott doing an Austin Powers impersonation.
That's how he would do it.
Yeah.
Not my bag, baby.
It was perfect.
Dwight, you're a moron.
So I got my celebration pass on Friday, which is awesome. I got my celebration pass and I got my room and I've got another.
Oh, you have got the room already.
I did get a room. I've got actually two rooms, one that I've got myself and then my friend that I went with to celebration, this last time around, Marianne, she's going to this one also along with her sister this time. So it's
cool.
Instead of me, Marianne and Ashley going this time, it's going to be me, Marianne, and her sister. So it's going to be three of us still in a room. So that's really cool. So that makes it very, very affordable for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my half of like the room, my third of the room is going to be like 400 something bucks for the 6 days or whatever. Cause like I said, it's Anaheim. So my plan is I'm flying out on a Wednesday, get there Wednesday afternoon, go to celebration Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and my plan is this right now. This is my plan. So get there Wednesday, have a room in the celebration block for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. On Sunday, check out of the hotel, move over to a Disney hotel, go to celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go to celebration on Sunday and then take advantage of the magic hours of Disney on Monday.
Yeah.
And then either leave late Monday night because I can take off and leave. I can check out of the hotel, leave my bags at the hotel, and go do the Disney thing, and then come back to the hotel, get my bags, get a ride to the airport, and take off. Now, I don't know if I want to be, like, sitting on a flight after being at Disneyland all blasted day long.
That would be exhausting.
That'd be a long day. So I'll probably just go ahead and stay an extra night and come home on Tuesday. That's the plan. We'll see how that works out for me or whatever.
Yeah.
But, man, it was like, I got in line. I got my ticket, and like there was whenever I got in early. Like I got in, like I'm not giving away my secret. I'll let you know how I did it afterwards, but I'm not putting it out over the air because I don't want people to like steal my secret and do the same thing next time. And
yeah,
because I got in early enough that I could have gotten a Jedi Master pass, oh, which was $900.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had the money.
What
for
does that
it.
Entail?
Oh, dude. Okay. So I've got it pulled up here. Jedi Master Pass includes, okay, it says Jedi Master Package includes premier access to Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, half hour early access to the exhibit hall each day. So that's so cool. That in itself is worth a lot. So you're getting in 30 minutes before everybody else.
That's very cool.
So any exclusives from like any vendor or whatever, you can get in there and get before anybody else is allowed inside.
That's so amazing about that is when we went to Orlando to take my oldest daughter and niece to Harry Potter's Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Part of the package deal we got was we got one day we got to show up at the park before it opened.
Oh, yeah.
And walk through it empty and get to go to the Wizarding World part. And it's completely empty.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just
like amazing. That's like the extra magic hours from Disney or whatever. That's the reason why I want to transfer to a Disney hotel and take advantage of that extra magic hour. So that way I can get into Galaxy's Edge and get a lot of really good pictures before it gets flooded with people.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. And so you get the half hour early access to the exhibit hall each day, half hour early access to the official celebration store each day, which that in itself is awesome. Exclusive Celebration Store preview experience, times and additional details to be announced. Jedi Master Express checkout lane at the official Celebration store. So like, and I've
like
seen
speed
that.
Pass to
yeah,
everything.
It's basically that's what it is, man. And that Jedi Master speed lane is like, there's hardly ever anybody in it because they only do like, it's under like maybe 300 passes that they do for the Jedi Master package. I don't know what the official number is, but it's a low number. So whenever I got in and those were still available, I was shocked. I was like, holy crap, I'm doing this every time. And that's why I'm not giving away my secret on what I did to get in early.
So you did do it.
I didn't get the Jedi Master pass. I had the money to get it, but there's things I got to pay like.
Yeah.
House. Well, you know, like I could have put it off like a week, but I couldn't bring myself to pull the trigger on it. Like if I would have had maybe a couple more weeks to plan, because they released last week, the week that we didn't record, they released last week that the tickets were going on sale the next week. And it was like, if they could have given everybody like maybe like a month to plan, I would have had no problem dropping the $900 on a Jedi Master.
That
pass.
Is a really short turnaround for.
Oh God, yes. Making it available. So you have the Jedi Master Express checkout lane at the official Celebration store, unlimited use of the Lightspeed lane to enter the official Celebration store, Lightspeed lane autograph hall pass, Lightspeed lane autograph hall line pass, and checkout for up to 6 autograph sessions and photo ops. That's a big, huge perk right there in itself, because that's saying that like where I stood in line for like 2 hours to get somebody to sign something, the Jedi Masters just walk up and they get their thing signed and then they get to walk off.
We also had the speed pass for the, it's a weird feeling. You're paying for this. When we also had like the fast track in Orlando. So there'd be you couldn't use it on like the biggest ride. You didn't get to use the speed pass.
Yeah.
But every other ride, you could just walk up past these long lines and get on. And I felt
I felt like a jerk. You feel like a jerk, but you also feel a little bit awesome because you're like, I felt like that whenever I was doing the music thing and stuff like that. And I could walk into these clubs and I wouldn't have to stand in the line to get inside. I could just walk in and just be like, oh, hey, yeah, you're good. Walk on in. I wouldn't even have to pay or anything like that. I'd walk up to the bar and the bartenders would immediately take care of me because they knew who I was and all like this. I felt like a, pardon the expression, I felt like a dick, but I did take advantage of it because if it wasn't going to be offered to me, I wasn't going to take advantage of it, you know, like, and like, I felt like a jerk doing it, but sometimes it feels good to be a jerk. You know what I'm saying?
Like, there was this one ride where you're, I think it's like a dragon ride at Orlando Wizarding World. And I loved it. It's like you're suspended in air and you're just being thrown around. It's kind of like a Six Flags ride.
Yeah.
And me and my oldest daughter did it. I think my wife didn't like it as much. And so we got done. And I think we went back like two times more. And I know for a fact one time we were like lapping people that were still in line. We'd get off of the ride because it was a short ride. It's just really fun. You get off the ride and then you run up to the front again. And these people are like, it's like, come on. Yeah, that, I do feel like a jerk about it, but it's like worth it. It is worth it because I'm not standing in line. Yeah.
Like I said, it makes you feel like a jerk, but it feels good to be a jerk every once in a while.
Yes.
You know,
that's I'm a jerk. I admit. Yeah.
It gives you priority access to all panels on the celebration stage. Now that in itself is a huge thing.
Oh yeah.
So that gives you, that's any panel. And the celebration stage is always the big stage where they have all the big name panels like this one.
It's not that silly thing where you had to sign up and hope you get in. You're going.
You're going. Like they have their own special little Jedi. And this actually tells you priority access allows Jedi Masters to enter the celebration stage prior to general attendees. There is no guaranteed reserved seating section for Jedi Masters, but you will have first choice of seats to each panel on the celebration stage. To take advantage of this entitlement, all Jedi Masters must arrive to the Jedi Master queue at the celebration stage before the designated time to be announced, typically 45 minutes prior to the start of each panel. Due to high demands for the panels, we are unable to offer priority access for Jedi Masters to the celebration stage within 15 minutes of scheduled panel start time. So basically, like they're saying, like you have like
they're saying it's not guaranteed you got a spot, but much you do.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just saying you got to basically get a seat, you got to get there 45 minutes early.
Yeah.
But that in itself is a huge thing because like the panels, like I go to celebration a lot of times and I don't even try to get in the big panels. Yeah. Like just because like I'm like now that they've done the lottery thing, that's awesome. I just think the lottery thing needs to be handled a little bit better. Like the people that spend the big money on the 4-day pass should probably have a little bit more of a priority access than the people that have the single day pass, you know. But you know, that's neither here nor there. But like, yeah, that in itself, that perk right there in itself is freaking awesome. It has a Jedi Master Lounge, complimentary coat check, Jedi Master Concierge. Your Jedi Master Concierge is available to help plan your day, assist with questions, and more. Basically, like, you have a coat check, a bag check. In the past, they've even had personal shoppers where you say, like, I want this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Go get it for me.
Wow.
Yeah. And then exclusive merchandise. And it says one Jedi Master ticket featuring exclusive art, one original signed art print created exclusively for Celebration Anaheim Jedi Masters, one extremely limited Jedi Master character pin not available for purchase by general fans. Now that alone in itself is like one of those things that's going to drive people up the wall.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be like this. Cause like I've got this Boba Fett pin over here. He's on the table somewhere. And it was
there.
There's those. He's over here somewhere. Is he there? No, there he is right there.
Yeah.
Like that guy right there, you had to spend $150 or more in the celebration store just to get this one single pin.
Yeah.
So people were going crazy about it because they didn't didn't want to spend $150 in the celebration store or they didn't want to wait in line for the celebration store. So that like one pin was going crazy. Not only that, he's also a beloved character with Boba Fett and stuff.
So are you leaving these in the package?
I don't know how I'm going to display those, man.
Because I can see you getting a cork board or something.
That's the idea.
And making a really cool display.
That's the idea. That's kind of what I want to do. Like I don't think I'll leave them in the package, but I think I'll leave the little cardboard backing on them because I like the cardboard backing because it reminds me of the old school. Like it reminds me of the old school action figures, man.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
I was thinking like a corkboard, like shadow box with a nice lighting system inside of it.
Let me take a picture and I will tweet it out tomorrow.
And then, I was thinking that like a little shadow box, like a big shadow box with like a corkboard with like a black felt kind of covering it. So that way it really kind of pops and stuff.
Hold that with
maybe like some, like nice LED lights or something like that in there, whatnot. just to kind of
like a shadow box.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Yeah. Exactly. Like help it pop out just a little bit or whatnot. And, but yeah, so you get the pin, the exclusive Jedi Master lanyard, exclusive Jedi Master embroidered patch, exclusive Jedi Master beverage tumbler, official show poster, one commemorative program guide, and one time 10% discount on all Celebration store purchases. So yeah, that in itself, like the first time we went to the Celebration store, like I spent like over $200. So if I had a 10% discount, like, it would have been like, I think the first time I checked out at the Celebration store, it was like $230. So I would have saved $23 right there, right off the bat.
Yeah, you'd have got one more thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like $900 is an expensive freaking thing to pay for a pass, but like all the amenities that you're getting for the $900, it's kind of like a no brainer. I totally would have done it if I could afford
it. Dude, I don't want to spend your money for you, but this is something I really want you to do at least once.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to.
It will happen. It will happen. And I keep saying every time that I'm going to get a Jedi Master pass at some point in time, I just haven't done it yet. And like, if I would have had like two more weeks to plan, I would have done it, because I'd spent so much money leading up to this on vintage stuff that it was just like, I had depleted my bank account too much and I needed to save a little bit more so that way I could
easily
pay bills and stuff.
I know that feeling, because every time I think I'm ahead.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you need to go. Oh, you need to do a college visit trip to Houston for 3 days. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, I've got all these other pins over here too that I need to do something with, man.
Yeah. Like, this is what I was talking about. Somebody that's like really obsessive about, they like, these need to be over here with these. Right? My wife had a friend come over and she saw our room with all our books, our library.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, when I first set everything up, I had an order really nice. But over time, I'm like grabbing books and it's really disorganized. I know where pretty much every single thing is.
Yeah.
But it's not alphabetical. It's kind of alphabetical.
Yeah.
It's kind of alphabetical by author. Like fiction's here, science fiction, fantasy's here. This is my history section. This is my like general world information, religion, and
here's
poetry. But it's not in any kind of like perfect order. And this lady's like, oh, I need to get in here. She's staying the weekend to visit my wife.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't have this. I got to fix this. I'm like, tell her, my wife says, tell her she better not touch one thing in that library.
It's an organized chaos.
It's my chaos. Yeah. I know if I reach up here to the left, up above, I know where it is.
Yeah. So careful here. You got really close.
No. Hey, look at this disaster behind you. You're like worried about me knocking over this little stormtrooper here.
I know, right? No, I just saw it. I was like, no.
Yeah. I got really, I just got really energized here there, because I'm like, to leave my stuff alone.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, dude, like if you look at this, like it doesn't look like it's really all that organized,
but it is.
It really is, because you're in front of the Rebel shelf.
Yes.
Like this is the Rebels right
over here. I belong.
And then I have the Empire over here.
Where you
belong. And even though this is like the vintage figure, the vintage vehicles right here. And I didn't really have any place really nice to put my vintage figures. So they're just kind of here at the front of everything. So that way I can show them all off, because that's where my love lies.
That's the heart. Like if you had to, let's say you're moving. Okay.
If I had to get rid of everything,
job offer, you get a great job offer. You got to move really fast.
Yeah.
And you can only take one shelf. That's what you're taking.
I'm taking a vintage figure.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'd take the vintage figures and the vintage vehicles. Oh, crap in the glasses.
And look at you.
Yeah. Other than that, I'd be like, okay, I got to sell all this other stuff. Which, I mean, I'd hate doing it. Like, I love it all, but that, like I said, the vintage figures is where my heart lies, man. Like, that's the reason, like, whenever I'll work all this overtime and have all this extra money, and then I'll just go on these vintage figure buys, man, because I can't stop myself, because I'm getting them and I'm like, oh my God, I love this dude. And every one of them, I love every one of them.
I know I've probably asked you this before. Do you know how many figures were made that are like considered the vintage? There's 82. How many do you have?
I've got it on a spreadsheet on here. I'm not sure exactly. I'd have to go through. I need to go through an update because, like I said, I've added a lay-in. I've added the cloud car pilot, and I've added another Ben Kenobi back there. I bought another Ben Kenobi thinking it was going to be the white-haired variant, and then it's another gray-haired variant.
Oh, yeah.
There's been some characters added to it. Like, I added the other Bespin guard, and I added, can't remember what else I've added to it. I'd have to get up and stand. I could immediately point them out and show, but you know, I do have a record of tracking it.
Someday I'm going to go on the hunt. I'm going to dip my toe into the mania,
dude.
But I know right now there's no way I could, go as deep as you have. So, cause what I would do, I'd go with Obi-Wan, Farm Boy Luke, Leia.
Yeah.
R2-D2, C-3PO, Han, Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Darth Vader.
Yep.
A Stormtrooper.
Uh-huh.
And I'd probably jump back over there to Luke in
the Bespin Fatigues.
The Bespin Fatigues.
Yeah.
Boba Fett, Lando.
Yep.
And then that's quite a bit. And Yoda, of course. And that's probably it for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably would like if I could find some of the others, but that would, to me, is the core.
Yeah. And those are some of the most expensive figures.
Yeah. That's why I can never do it. That's why I'll never do it. Or yeah. I'll learn how to be one of these people that buys I'll just make my own.
Yeah. Hey, there we go.
Yeah.
And what was really cool is Target, I was actually looking for you, Luke, at one point in time. I wasn't saying anything about it because Target was doing these retro figures that were basically reprints. What I would call a reprint of the actual vintage figures. It was an actual vintage figure. I don't know if they used the same mold and everything, but they were done to look exactly like it. And they came out just recently around Father's Day and stuff like that. But Target got them. They're exclusive to Target for a little while, and then they're going to be everywhere. And they sold so quick that I couldn't get my hands on them. But they were so cool. And I was like, at first I was kind of like, I don't really care. And then like I started seeing people with them and all like this type of stuff. I was like, oh my God, I want them so bad. And you had mentioned something that you wanted a Farm Boy Luke. And I was like, I got to get Mike that Farm Boy Luke, but I never did come across.
I'll find one. So, yeah. We're going to go on a treasure hunt someday and I'll find some.
We need to hit back up Bowie, man. We need to go back out to Bowie.
Yeah.
I want to get one of those portable recorders like what Adam had.
Yeah.
And then we can take that and instead of just getting a booth, we could just walk around with a portable recorder.
Yeah. Eat some tacos,
drink some beers.
Look for some,
find something neat. Maybe we could even hit Canton.
I'd love to go to Canton.
I've never been to Canton. I'd like to hit the Canton flea market at some point.
I know you definitely, cause I heard you can spend all weekend there and not see everything.
That's what they say, man. Like, I don't know if I want to go and spend the weekend or whatever, but I'd totally like to drive out there like early one day and then leave like late and come back that night or something like that. It'd be a long day because that's like a good 2 hour drive, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah.
But it'd be fun. Devil with it. But I think we need to wrap it up because we're running over an hour right now. So.
Yeah. Well, I miss seeing you.
I know, dude. Like, we had so much to talk about. And like, I didn't even ask if you wanted to record last weekend because like, A, I worked on Saturday.
Father's Day.
And then Father's Day was on Sunday and stuff like that.
Father's Day. What a load.
You didn't enjoy
No, I had a great Father's Day.
Yeah.
I'm going to derail us.
No, that's fine.
I know
you're
trying to wrap up. I loved Father. It was one of the best Father's Days I have had, even. But it's just such a forced, made up. Every day it should be happy day. Everybody day.
It's the same thing as Mother's Day, man. Like, I don't discount Mother's Day. I don't discount Father's Day, but they're both made up holidays that's just made up by Hallmark to get people to buy a card and all like this type of stuff, you know?
I celebrated Father's Day on Saturday and I got up and I told my wife, I didn't have to go to work. I'm like, okay, here's what I want to do. Cause they were about to leave for this trip to go visit a college and I was going to have to stay home and work. I said, this is what I want to do. Cause I've been working long hours. I haven't got to spend much time with them. I said, I want to go to Bowie.
Yeah.
I want y'all to go to the library and look for an audiobook to listen to on your drive. Then I want Tristan to pick out somewhere to eat. And then I want to take Lila to the park.
Yeah.
And then I want to rent a movie and go home.
There you go.
Nothing's really about me, but I just wanted to chill like that. And that's the best.
Yeah.
And then when you have to go do other things, That's what I don't like, having to do things when you have such a limited amount of free time.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't like having to do things where people plan the things for me.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, don't.
Yeah, no, exactly. But no, man, I don't blame you one bit, man. Like, I just found my checklist. I thought it was on my Kindle, but it's actually here on my phone.
Oh, sweet.
So I have, I have to go through and count, because I've got it all set up to where it's like, I've got like R2-D2, Obi-Wan white hair, and then there's Obi-Wan gray hair right beneath it and whatnot. And then there's sand people, and then there's sand people.
Is it like on a app thing you got?
Yeah, it's on this numbers thing right here. It's basically like a little spreadsheet. And then I've got the grading, what I kind of grade it myself. Like, it's,
oh, wow.
I've got a description of that too. Yeah. I've got a description of what the condition is that I think it is for me personally.
Like, if you're grading it for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's, I just use this, it's a little numbers app on this, iPhone XR. And I've got, oh, see, there's one right there that I need to update and say that I've got, because it's Leia Hoth, Imperial TIE Pilot. I need to update that. I still need a Princess Leia Bush. I need a AT-ST driver. I need a B-Wing. No, I've got a B-Wing pilot. Don't I? I think I do. I don't know. He'd be wearing red. I don't see him, so I don't have a B-Wing pilot. Crap, I thought I've had one of those, and I passed him up here recently.
Well, you better do a good search there. I don't see one.
I don't either. I thought I had one of those. Oh, well, that's no big deal. I don't have a Lumat. I don't have a Paploo. I've got a Klaatu, and I've got a Nikto. So I don't know why I haven't. Yeah, I've got to update this. I got a General Madine. I don't have him on there.
You got work to do, man.
Yeah, I know. But it's getting down to like the single digits, by the way it looks. Like, I'm getting very close to the end.
What the end?
I don't know. Maybe try to find better versions of them and stuff like that. Yeah, and keep swapping them out.
Yeah.
Because there's some that I rebought. Like, I recently rebought that Farm Boy Luke just because I wanted a better version of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to find a better version of my White Princess Leia down there. By the White Princess Leia, I mean the one with the star buns, like from A New Hope. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted a different version of her, but like, I haven't found a different version of her. I wanted a different I really wanted a different version of that gray haired Ben, but I was looking for a white haired Ben first, because
is her top supposed to be so dark?
No, it's just kind of like, it's the way it's colored. I'm going to try to do a whitening thing on it.
That's what I thought,
but that's an expensive figure. So I'm kind of hesitant to try a whitening thing on it because I don't want to screw it up, because that's actually a really good one. But except for her, like, top is just kind of discolored in a funky way or whatnot. So I'm going to try to, I'm going to get a beater, I think, like a cheap beater, and then just try dunking it in that stuff and then setting it out in the sun and see what it does to the paint that's not the white paint. So we'll see. We'll see. But anyways, if you enjoyed the show, help us grow. Go by and rate us and write a review. Just remember, please be kind.
We like 5 stars.
While you're at it, go to www.nerdylegion.com/audible. Well, you've heard us talk about Audible this entire podcast.
Yes.
The entire podcast. So, you know, we love Audible. We're not just trying to tell you to sign up for Audible to help other people out. We're trying to tell you to sign up for Audible because help you're probably gonna out. Love it.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. My daughter signed up so she could get the free book.
Oh, really?
For the trip, they'd gone to the library to pick out, and they picked out some DVDs, some CDs to listen to. And then she's like, "I really want to listen to this book. What's this Audible thing?" You're and like, she signed up for a free month, and she's gonna cancel because I'm not paying for my account and hers.
I was gonna say, I don't blame you. I mean, like, yeah.
But if you don't want to keep it, you get the free book.
Yeah, if you don't want to keep it, you get to keep the free books. But the fact is, you're probably gonna keep it. Michael is sitting here going like, she's not gonna keep it because he's the one that had to pay for it. Mm. Now, but like, and there's no sense in you spending what's that, like, it'd be like $30 a month on Audible accounts.
Yeah.
Cause it's like $14 and something a month.
Something like that. But it's so worth it.
It's totally worth it. I like it better than Netflix, to tell you the truth, because it gets me through my day at work. And if you get me through my day at work easy, then I love you, you know? Yeah. So, but anyways, go to www.nerdylegion.com/audible and sign up for your 1 month free and 2 free books.
It's one now.
Is it one? Okay. Yeah, it probably is. I think the two free books was just a special limited time thing. Yeah. But anyways, get your 1 free book. They have hundreds of thousands of books and speeches and many more all at your fingerprints.
So many cool things you can get. And then you get the free 2 books. You do. You get an additional 2 books a month free.
Yeah. The Audible Selects or whatever. Originals. Audible Originals. Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't want to keep the subscription, you don't have to, but you get to keep the books. If you feel like contacting us between shows, you can email us at 2btshow@gmail.com. That's the number 2btshow@gmail.com.
That's the first time you've ever got it out without
without flubbing it.
Yeah.
I know it.
And I just ruined the moment.
But I haven't done celebrate. I know, right? It deserved a celebration. I will say that. We should have a Dave celebration.
Yeah.
Instead of Star Wars celebration. It's Dave celebration 2019.
Oh, we could do that.
Yeah. We could just sit around and eat pizza and watch
movies. Get a booth at Trade Days and just put a big banner up, Dave celebration. And you can have a little cooler over there and just, some pizza brought in, and everybody can just come up and celebrate Dave.
sounds like an amazing time.
It really does.
Yeah, I know, right? Or you can follow us on Twitter. That's the number 2BT show. That's the number 2BT show. You can also contact us on Facebook. Well, we don't really post on Facebook.
Trying to.
But you know what? Come by Facebook. I think it's the same thing. I think it's either 2BT or 2BT show.
It's easy to find.
Either way, search 2BT. And if it says 2BT show or 2BT, just follow it. With that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT signing out.
Adios.
Bye, con Diaz.
I want to talk about that Scottish show with the old man still game. Oh my God. It's amazing. And I went on a binge because my wife was gone.
Yeah.
So I went on a binge of like, okay, I'm not going to watch this without you. But I went through Netflix and was sampled like six different shows that are from the BBC.
I bet you there was one that we watched that was kind of, that was the same. And I can't think of the name of it, but it was a Scottish show also. And I was like watching it. And I was like, I'm going to have to turn on subtitles because this is just too much. But anyways, we hit record again. So we're recording once more. Because we wanted to talk about, I was like, crap, I wanted to talk about the chef show on Netflix. It's a new show.
John Favreau. Roy Choi.
Yeah.
Who is the star of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he makes John Favreau be his little
B
word.
Yeah,
boy.
Yeah, like, exactly.
John, carry this in here.
Yeah. But he's his mentor on being a chef or something like that.
Roy Choi is the guy that the whole food truck thing that's everywhere.
Yeah.
He's kind of credited as being like the pioneer of that.
Okay.
He is like a real deal. We were just talking off the air about Bourdain. Bourdain and him were really close. He was on Bourdain's show.
Yeah.
He was kind of like, they were like really good friends outside the show. He is like, an amazing, like, he was an inspiration to a lot of people to set up the whole thing. I mean, now there are food trucks here in Denton, Texas.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you saw the movie Chef, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a great movie,
John Favreau. I love that
movie. And that's where he got the story for the movie Chef was from this, what'd you say his name was? Roy Choi. Yeah, he got the idea from the movie Chef from this guy's basically like life story or whatever, who quit. What was it?
He was working his way up in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, he describes it as people like that get into this. A lot of them want to have like a real restaurant, but this is just a cheaper way of doing it. Others just don't like that restrictive lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, and he's often that comes up like the early days when he started setting up. It's, I forgot the name of the dadgum truck.
Oh, yeah. Like it starts with a K. I can't think
Koji.
Of it. Yeah, Koji or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's like Korean tacos.
Yeah. And he said, I guess he started it at the same time that like Twitter was just kind of hitting big.
Yeah. And it became and like so a
they
thing.
Would, they would tweet out where they were going to be at. And that's kind of how like his whole like following started mm-hmm. and stuff mm-hmm. like that or whatnot. And so the movie Chef is basically about that. Now they have this chef show. That's the actual title of it. Chef Show is on Netflix. If you mm-hmm. have Netflix, go by and check it out. It's great because they basically go around. Like the first show was, they had,
Goop. What's her name?
Gwyneth Paltrow. And they make,
and Bill Burr, the comedian showed up.
Oh God, Bill Burr.
Funny like, dude.
Dude, I love Bill Burr. He is by far my most favorite comedian out there right now.
And like that episode is okay.
Yeah.
But then the next one and then the next one, I'm like, oh my God.
They just get better, man.
And what I love about it is, they're kind of like, well, we're doing this our way.
Yeah.
Roy Choi doesn't necessarily seem like he really wants to be doing it, but I think he does want to do it.
Yeah.
But the thing that I love about it is John Favreau's not just doing it. He's actually doing it as an excuse to learn.
Yeah.
Cause he's really intent and he's like the nicest guy.
Oh yeah.
He legitimately is the nicest guy that could be. He has Robert Downey Jr. and the Holland guy that plays Spider-Man to a thing. And that Holland kid just can't shut up, can he?
I know, right? I thought it was awesome where he was kind of like kissing Robert Downey Jr.'s butt. And he was like, and Robert Downey Jr. like starts kind of messing with me. He's like, hey,
you look at me in the eye when you talk about me. Yeah. But that you get the food, the cooking part, and then you get the interaction with these other people that are just interesting people. I mean, they went down to Austin and hung out with Robert Rodriguez.
That was my favorite one.
And then he got to hang out with, Franklin, Aaron Franklin of Franklin's Barbecue. And it's like, I learned so much just watching Aaron Franklin carve a brisket.
Oh, yeah.
I learned a lot the next time I decide to smoke one.
Heck yeah, dude. That's what it is. We need to build the clubhouse. The clubhouse is going to be big is what it sounds like, which is fine by me. We could make like a big open, like
I'm thinking 4,000 square feet.
That's what I was thinking also, because then we could have like a little cooking section with like a smoker outside and a grill and stuff. And then we could have, let it just be a big empty open space. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like roomed off or anything like that.
All
just,
open floor plan.
Yeah. With the bathroom in one spot and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't need a shower. Just needs the, we can have the bathroom next to the kitchen. So we only have to have the running water in the one spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, dude, this whole like clubhouse thing is all coming together. I like the idea.
But yeah, the chef's show is amazing.
Great. It's probably like, I would claim it as like the best cooking show out there because they do tell you how to do it.
Yeah. But they don't get so tedious as they don't do like the, whole, like
two tablespoons.
It's like they just start throwing stuff in there.
Yeah.
So if you want to find out, you can go find out. The recipes are out there.
Oh yeah.
You get to watch them how to do it. They show you how just the intensity that the dude, the Roy makes a grilled cheese.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is intense.
Oh yeah.
And I'm going to try to make that grilled cheese sandwich and I want to make a Cubano.
Oh dude, that Cubano sandwich is so good.
The lady they had come in when they were talking about the Goldman, the food critic that had just died before they recorded it to honor him, she was a Thai lady.
Oh dude, that pad Thai.
That made the pad Thai. That's intentional. She's like, I don't measure anything.
Yeah.
It's like pop pop. And another funny thing is Favreau is like a nerd about this because he wants to really be a good chef and cook. It's not just for fun. He actually does enjoy doing it. And he'll ask Roy, how do we make this? And he's like, oh, just do this, this and this. And he's like, but that's not what you texted me 2 years ago. That was a different recipe. And Roy will look at him like, really? It's like, and like, no, I can see Favreau. He probably has every little recipe that he got texted to him. But they became friends because when he made the chef movie, he needed somebody to he wanted it to be authentic. And Roy said, I don't really have time for this dude. He's like, but I'll do it if you do it right. Cause I'm not going to be involved with something that's going to make, cause apparently chefs get really upset when the food industry is depicted in a way that's not realistic. And they kept meeting people. Like one guy had a tattoo of the, like a long fork that you would use for like a big hunk of meat.
Yeah.
That had that tattoo of the one used in the movie.
Yeah.
And Favreau gave it to the guy. Said, I have it right here. You can have it. I used this for making the movie. You can have this.
That's awesome.
And the guy almost cried.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then somebody else is like, dude, the whole reason I'm in the food industry now is because I had quit and I watched that movie and it gave me that love back for this.
It made me want to watch the movie again.
And guess what? Netflix dropped the ball. It's not available.
Really?
On Netflix.
You can get it on Amazon. I saw it on there the other day, but I think you have to rent it or something like that or whatever.
Okay. You're doing the chef show.
Yeah.
And Jon Favreau, I think, owns the movie.
Yeah.
Why could they not have it available too?
You would figure that if they wanted to, like, I mean, it would probably be great for their pocketbook to be, because people are going to see the show and then want to watch the movie.
Yes.
Like, cause it made me want to watch the movie again, just watching the show.
That's why I know this. Cause I was really frustrated. I'm like, I finished the series and they're not long episodes.
No, they're not. They're like, what, like 45 minutes, an hour or something?
I think
like that.
It varies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, I've made it up to the Robert Rodriguez or the one afterwards, I think, where they're making the pad Thai. And I've got to say the Robert Rodriguez one right now is my favorite because I just loved his interaction with Robert Rodriguez. Like Robert Rodriguez seems like he's like this very,
he's got it figured out.
Yeah. He's very just like, he's just, he doesn't really seem like he shows a heck of a lot of emotion or whatever.
No.
But yeah, he's like, he knows every, like, he's got it, like you said, he's got it figured out. Like,
he said the key is to live creatively.
Yeah.
You know,
I liked his thing where he had, whenever he has like people, actors and directors come over to his house, he has them draw on a book, whether they can draw or not.
Giant. And that described the size of that book was about the size of this card table that you're sitting at.
Yeah. It's huge.
Amazing. So that's probably like I've never seen a book that big.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really cool thing. Oh, somebody comes over, you got to have sign it in.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of weird, I guess, but it's kind of a cool thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can see us having a, hey, first time here, draw a picture for me.
You're at the clubhouse. You got to sign this. You got to draw the page.
This is your fee for coming here. Right? I'll feed you, but you got to leave a memento here.
That's it. We got to have a drawing book or sign in book for the clubhouse.
When we do the celebration day at Bowie Trade Day celebration, we'll have a big book and everybody walking back and
can
do whatever they want.
Can draw on it. But yes, so watch the chef show. We'll touch back on that again.
Yeah.
But my butt's hurting, so I'm ready to get up. Too. So, all right. So anyways, again, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2BT signing off one more time.
Adios.
Falcon Diaz.
Yay.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.